Welcome to the inaugural Collaborative Group of the Americas for Inherited Gastrointestinal Cancer podcast series. This series is presented by the CGA Education Committee. This year's series will focus on the multidisciplinary, patient-centered approach to management of Lynch syndrome. The aim of this series is to hear from experts about how they counsel their patients on cancer risk reduction strategies in Lynch syndrome.
Hello, my name is Dr. Catherine Germansky, and I am a gastroenterologist at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center and director of the GI Cancer Genetics and Prevention Program at Beth Israel. I am hosting today's podcast. Please note the content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Today's podcast will take a closer look at issues surrounding breast cancer risk in patients with Lynch syndrome. We are here with Dr. Nadine Tung, who is the Director of Breast Medical Oncology at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston, as well as the Director of the Cancer Genetics and Prevention Program. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. First, let's start with patients with known Lynch syndrome. NCCN guidelines now list breast cancer among the possible increased cancer risks for Lynch syndrome patients. However, data about breast cancer risks are limited. How do you discuss lifetime risks of breast cancer with your Lynch syndrome patients?
Well, the issue of whether breast cancer risk is increased for mismatch repair gene mutation carriers has always been debated, with evidence for and against this association. In 2013, Wynn and colleagues reviewed the evidence regarding whether breast cancer risk was increased in patients with Lynch syndrome in the journal Breast Cancer Research. And in their review, they found that 13 studies showed no increased risk and 8 studies showed an increased risk. All of the studies were retrospective except one. The one prospective study, which was done by Wynn and his colleagues, published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology in 2013, reported on 446 individuals with mismatch repair gene mutations without cancer, who were followed prospectively. Mutation carriers had a fourfold increased risk of breast cancer compared to the expected rate, which was based, however, on only 7 breast cancers that developed in mutation carriers. This translated to a 4.5% absolute risk of breast cancer over 10 years.
So what are the limitations of currently available research in this area, as you were alluding to?
Well, it's important to note that any study that compares cancer development in mutation carriers to that in the general population must account for the fact that mutation carriers may be screened more closely. And in addition, ascertainment bias might overestimate breast cancer risk for the mutation carriers. If the mismatch repair gene mutation was identified through panel testing because a person had a significant family history of breast cancer, it's possible that the mismatch repair gene mutation was identified incidentally. Breast cancer risk estimates will therefore be biased upwards if patients are tested because of a family history of breast cancer. In addition, many of these studies suffered from small size and the fact that unaffected relatives, who are assumed to be non-carriers, were often not tested for the familial mutation. So therefore, I believe it's premature to definitively answer whether breast cancer is a Lynch syndrome-related cancer.
How then can we try to answer this issue regarding whether Lynch patients have an increased risk of breast cancer?
Well, more precise breast cancer risk estimates are definitely needed. And that requires large prospective studies with long follow-up, which is difficult. Alternatively, we need a meta-analysis of existing studies or large, well-conducted case control or family studies in which all family members included have undergone genetic testing and ascertainment bias has been adjusted for. And in addition, one reason that different studies have reached different conclusions may be that all of the mismatch repair genes have been analyzed together. There's evidence suggesting that breast cancer risk may vary depending on the specific mismatch repair gene mutated.
Can you elaborate on the potential differences in breast cancer risk according to the specific Lynch-related gene involved?
Sure. There's some evidence suggesting that the breast cancer risk may be higher for mutations in certain mismatch repair genes, with two recent studies suggesting that the risk is higher with mutations in MSH6 or PMS2 than with MLH1 or MLH2. Heather Hampel's group reported on approximately 35,000 individuals who had multi-gene testing through Ambry Genetics between 2012 and 2015, and this was published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology in 2017. 528 mismatch repair mutation carriers were identified. When assessing the 12% of individuals with breast cancer only and not colorectal cancer, MSH6 and PMS2 mutations were more frequent. These mutations were also more common in the 22% of the mutation carriers who met criteria for hereditary breast and ovarian cancer testing. And similarly, Roberts et al. Published results on more than 50,000 women who underwent panel testing. 423 germline mutations in mismatch repair genes were found. Those women with breast cancer or who had a family history of breast cancer, again, were more likely to have a mutation in either MSH6 or PMS2 than in MLH1 or 2. So these results have implications for the design of future studies. Specifically, it's important to assess the risk of breast cancer separately for each mismatch repair gene. And this is perhaps not surprising given the different gene-related risks for other Lynch syndrome-related cancers.
Interesting. So do men with Lynch syndrome have an increased risk of breast cancer?
Well, there are case reports of men with Lynch syndrome who developed breast cancer. However, there are no reliable risk estimates for breast cancer. For men with Lynch syndrome, it's an uncommon event.
So how should we determine breast cancer risk for our patients with Lynch syndrome at this time?
Well, until more data is available, there is not sufficient evidence to suggest that we should determine breast cancer risk differently for patients with Lynch syndrome than we do for all other patients. And therefore, I would recommend using the standard breast cancer risk factors and the risk assessment models, such as the Gale model, the Klaus model, and the Tyrer-Cuzick model.
So should surveillance recommendations differ for our patients with Lynch syndrome?
Surveillance should be based on the results of our risk assessment models and family history. Currently, the American Cancer Society recommends annual breast MRI for women who have a lifetime risk of breast cancer that exceeds 20 to 25% based on models that rely primarily on family history, such as the Tyrer-Cuzick or the Klaus models. And from existing reports overall, the age of breast cancer also does not seem to differ in patients with Lynch syndrome than in non-carriers, and therefore there's no evidence that surveillance should necessarily start at a younger age than otherwise recommended based on standard risk assessment methods.
Dr. Tung, is there a role for medications that decrease the risk of breast cancer, such as tamoxifen? We often ask about tamoxifen use in Lynch syndrome patients who have an increased risk of endometrial cancer inherently.
Well, both the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force and ASCO recommend discussing breast cancer risk-reducing medications like tamoxifen or raloxifene or the aromatase inhibitors with women who have a 5-year risk of breast cancer greater than 1.7%, though most of us feel that it should exceed 3% for postmenopausal women. And again, since we're not certain to what degree a mismatch repair gene mutation increases breast cancer risk, This short-term risk of breast cancer is best determined through use of the existing breast cancer risk models. Now, you raise an excellent point about whether tamoxifen use is contraindicated in Lynch syndrome patients who do have a hereditary risk of endometrial cancer. I do not know of any data that specifically addresses this, but I would be loath to prescribe tamoxifen to a woman with Lynch syndrome who had her uterus intact. Unfortunately, for premenopausal women, tamoxifen is the only effective breast cancer prevention medication. For a premenopausal woman, I would probably rely on bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy for breast cancer risk reduction. Once a woman is postmenopausal, raloxifene, which does not increase endometrial cancer risk, or an aromatase inhibitor could be used in appropriate Lynch syndrome patients who are at increased risk of breast cancer.
So what about prophylactic mastectomies for patients with Lynch syndrome?
Well, prophylactic mastectomies are really reserved for women with the highest risk of breast cancer, such as those with germline BRCA mutations. In general, this would not be a strategy appropriate for most women with Lynch syndrome.
Are there any other strategies to decrease breast cancer risk besides medication?
Well, nursing has been associated with a decreased risk of breast cancer. And in addition, aerobic exercise, maintaining optimal weight, and limiting alcohol have all been shown to decrease the risk of breast cancer.
Many of our female patients with Lynch syndrome undergo prophylactic total abdominal hysterectomy with bilateral salpingo oophorectomy. Presumably, the same surgery performed on premenopausal women would reduce breast cancer risks in women with Lynch syndrome as it does in women with BRCA mutations. But is there anything known about that level of risk reduction?
Well, in general, bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy performed in premenopausal women is thought to decrease the risk of breast cancer by about 50% if performed around the age of 40. Now, there's been some controversy recently as to whether this long-accepted belief is actually true for BRCA mutation carriers, with some recent reanalysis of previous data suggesting it may only be true for BRCA2 mutation carriers. There's no data specifically for women with germline mutations in mismatch repair genes. However, in general, inducing early menopause by any means is likely to decrease breast cancer risk for any woman.
In premenopausal BRCA carriers, hormone replacement therapy is usually prescribed after risk-reducing total abdominal hysterectomy with bilateral salpingo oophorectomy. How does this affect breast cancer risk in general, and then for patients with Lynch syndrome?
Well, the only data we have is for BRCA mutation carriers. Most studies only include relatively small number of carriers and have relatively short follow-up. But the data does show that if hormone replacement therapy is administered for just a few years, the breast cancer risk reduction achieved with bilateral salpingo-oophorectomy does not seem to be lost with the administration of hormone replacement therapy. Common practice in BRCA mutation carriers is to prescribe hormone replacement therapy for only a few years and then taper it off, and to never continue HRT beyond the natural age of menopause, typically around age 50.
Sometimes the family history is suggestive of Lynch syndrome. However, recently in both clinical practice and in the published literature, we have all seen families suggestive of hereditary breast and ovarian cancer who are then identified to have a mismatch repair mutation. How can we explain this genotype and phenotype mismatch, and how does this affect our surveillance recommendations?
Well, you're absolutely correct. That is, multi-gene panel testing for cancer susceptibility becomes more widespread. Incidental or unexpected mutations are identified. This includes patients testing for breast cancer susceptibility genes based on a family history of breast cancer who are identified to have Lynch syndrome mutations. The risk of breast cancer in such a patient is likely dictated more by the breast cancer risk factors, such as family history of breast cancer, that led to the genetic testing initially. And thus, again, standard breast cancer risk models should be used to determine the risk of breast cancer and to guide risk management strategies such as surveillance and the use of prevention medications.
So now let's turn to patients diagnosed with breast cancer, then referred for genetic testing, who are then found to have Lynch syndrome. Tumors of Lynch syndrome display abnormal immunohistochemistry with loss of staining of the mismatch repair proteins. Is this also true for breast cancer?
Well, that's a very important question. And the question of whether Lynch patients have an increased susceptibility to breast cancer is different and distinct than whether the mismatch repair deficiency is playing some role in the biology of a breast cancer that develops in a Lynch syndrome patient. Several studies have shown that about 50% or more of the breast cancers that develop in patients with Lynch syndrome are mismatch repair deficient. In other words, at least half of the breast cancers that develop in Lynch patients exhibit DNA microsatellite instability and or loss of the protein expression by immunohistochemistry for the relevant mutated mismatch repair gene. And this suggests that whether or not there is an increased risk of developing breast cancer in Lynch syndrome patients who develop breast cancer, the mutation is playing a role or contributing to the development of the breast cancer. But it is also possible that the mismatch repair deficiency is a phenotype or a result arising within the breast cancer, but caused by a different factor, that it's a passenger and not a driver of the breast cancer development.
What are the implications for this consistent finding that at least half of the breast cancers that develop in patients with Lynch are mismatch repair deficient? As you know, novel targeted therapeutics, including PD-1 and PD-L1 blockade, are being used in patients with Lynch syndrome-related cancers. Are these options also available for patients with advanced or metastatic breast cancer?
Okay, well, one implication that many of the breast cancers in Lynch syndrome patients have mismatch repair deficiency is that in families suspected of Lynch syndrome, if no colorectal cancer or endometrial cancer is available for analysis, a breast cancer could be analyzed for microsatellite instability or for protein loss by immunohistochemistry. A second implication, as you just suggested, relates to treatment. Cancers that have microsatellite instability are often responsive to immune therapy, as you stated, with immune checkpoint blockades such as PD-1 and anti-PD-L1 inhibitors. Now, while only 2-3% of all breast cancers have microsatellite instability, those that develop in Lynch syndrome patients should be assessed for microsatellite instability, which would predict for response to immune therapy.
Are there any other differences in the breast cancers that develop in Lynch syndrome patients?
Well, interestingly, the breast cancers that develop in mismatch repair mutation carriers have similar pathologic features to the colorectal cancers that develop in these patients. They tend to be poorly differentiated, they have an increased mitotic rate, and an increased prevalence of tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes.
That is extremely interesting. Now, do you have any favorite patient-friendly resources, websites, or support groups that your patients have found particularly helpful?
I think the NIH has a great website. Medline Plus is the NIH website for patients and has great information about breast cancer and breast cancer risk. It discusses hereditary and other breast cancer risk factors, as well as strategies to decrease risk.
This has been an incredibly interesting podcast. Would you mind summarizing what you feel the relationship between Lynch syndrome and breast cancer is, given the current data, to wrap us up today?
Sure. In my opinion, the data is not yet conclusive that the risk of breast cancer is significantly higher for patients with Lynch syndrome than for non-carriers. We need larger prospective studies, or we need well-conducted case control or family studies assessing the risk according to each mismatch repair gene separately, perhaps focusing first on MSH6 and PMS2. But until then, I would assess breast cancer risk the same in Lynch patients as I would in other patients and manage the risk accordingly. In Lynch syndrome patients who do develop breast cancer, the mismatch repair gene mutation does seem to be playing some role in at least half of the breast cancers, as evidenced by loss of expression of the relevant mismatch repair gene, by immunohistochemistry, or by microsatellite instability. And as you had pointed out, this has potential implications for treatment with immune therapy.
We want to thank you so much today for your time and your expertise. And we really look forward to seeing where this field goes in the future.
Thank you so much.
We hope you've enjoyed the inaugural 2018 CGA podcast series. Stay tuned for our next series, which will delve into the complex, multidisciplinary management of familial adenomatous polyposis. We're really excited to talk with experts about topics such as desmoid management, transition from pediatric to adult care, duodenal neoplasia management, and gastric adenocarcinoma and proximal polyposis of the stomach, or GAPS. Please follow us on Twitter at CGAIGC. If you value this type of educational content, please strongly consider becoming a member of the Collaborative Group of the Americas on Inherited GI Cancer Syndromes. You can get details from our website at www.cgaicc.com.